This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Tyrese Halliburton is in the lineup, and now he's in the box score. Hits a three-pointer, and the Pacers have a 24-17 lead, 4:15 to go in the first. Will Hill, Matt Youmans here on VSiN Prime Time, hour number three. Will, we're underway in Indianapolis, and the Pacers missed their first eight shots, then hit their next six, and now have a seven-point lead. How quickly things turn around.
Yeah, Halliburton quiet to start. Like you said, 0 for 4 that hits a three, so 1 of 5, still not impressive, but maybe he sees one go through the hoop and that gets him going. But, man, yeah, that's a stretch when you you eliminate that last three. That's, what was he, 0 for 6 in game 5 and 0 for 4 to start, so 10 missed shots for Halliburton. Moving around okay. Again, we're doing the show and watching at the same time. I'm curious what you think. Seems to be moving okay. If I didn't know he was hurt, I wouldn't think he was hurt. Other than that one time he missed a shot, he started limping around a little bit.
Right.
SGA, quiet start. 1 of 2 from the field. No points, no rebounds. No rebounds, no assists. 2 points, 1 of 2 from the field. So we'll see. It was 10-2 early on OKC with a lead, and now they trail by 7. So an 8-point lead and a 7-point deficit. I know we say it all the time, and maybe we beat a dead horse with it, but these lead swings in the NBA, it's just crazy to go from up 8 to down 7 in, 15 minutes of real time, 5-6 minutes of game time. It's just wild, the swings you get here in the NBA.
This is what we talked about pregame tonight. If you like the Thunder, I said the Pacers would have a significant lead in the first quarter or first half, and don't lay Thunder minus 220 because you could get them at a cheaper price in live betting. And look at this, Will. The Pacers have flipped to the favorites, minus 1.5 on Indiana, and you could get Thunder at minus 110 or 120. It's moving on my screen as we speak. But I said the Pacers would have a lead tonight in the first half. I thought they'd get off to a fast start. They fell behind 10-2 and then came back. They actually missed their first eight shots, 0 for 8. Since then, they are 8 for 10 to take this 24-17 lead. Now the Thunder flipped to 1.5-point favorites for the game. But again, it's basically a pick 'em at this point. And, Will, I think you saw 8.5, right? OKC minus 8.5 just briefly on the live betting screen.
Yeah, what was it? The timeout at 8-2 where Carlisle got mad after the dunk with the miscommunication. It went to 8.5, then it flashed right back to 7.5. So not only, keep an eye on the live lines, but if you can do it, it's not always easy, but try to have 2-3 options open, because you would think, or some people might think, you know what? It's a live line. You're going to get the same number. If it's 7.5 one place, it's 7.5 another. Not necessarily the case. You'll see some fluctuations, usually by maybe a point and a half at the most, but you do see some disparity, some fluctuation in the numbers from book to book. So it was important to have as many options as possible. It's harder, live action, to be sitting here looking at a million books, but if it's possible, it's worth doing. But and I sat here blabbering on and on about how Pacers 12-1. I was tempted, maybe I should do it, and of course watch them win here and be right in the game in game 7, and I'll sit here be kicking myself, be typical.
You did not take the 12-1 before tip off, right? And the Pacers would win the series?
No.
You talked about it several times. You sound like you wanted to make the bet. I thought you might make the bet.
I just thought at 12-1, when we both agreed home for game 6, they're live, and then you get into game 7, they don't have to win the game for you to monetize that ticket. Just go up like they are now, up 8 in the first quarter. Maybe they're, OKC's minus 160 or minus 150 on the money line. You're sitting with 12-1 on one side, minus 150 on the other. Again, projecting ahead, but I just thought for a team that only needs to win 2 games, 12-1 on a money line. Yeah. Seemed out of whack. We had Chuck Esposito, and he agreed with me. He said, if you just do the math on it, it makes sense. But just to the naked eye, the 12-1 does seem like a long number.
26-17. Pacers were down by 8 early, all of a sudden up by 9. And Obi Toppin hits a couple of free throws. Toppin off to a nice start here, too. He's got 2 made threes already. How about that sequence, Will? Talked about the value of T.J. McConnell. He tipped the ball. The Thunder got a little too casual with the pass in the backcourt. McConnell tipped it, stole it, dished it to Obi Toppin. He hit a three, and that's triggered this crowd in Indiana. You can tell the crowd's off the hook right now with the Pacers up 9, but that McConnell steal and assist to Toppin for the three, that's the type of winning plays that T.J. McConnell makes. He has not scored yet tonight, but he is on the floor making a difference for the Pacers. Actually, he's off the floor. No, McConnell's out there right now. He is out there. And Tyrese Halliburton played 8 minutes so far in the first quarter, has got 4 points. Andrew Nimhard with 8. Pascal Siakam with 5. And Obi Toppin with 8 so far for the Pacers. Talked about three-point shooting regression for the Thunder. Well, they shot 44% in Game 5, and I said they're not that good a three-point shooting team. They came into the final shooting 33% as a team, 0 for 4 so far. So if you thought there was going to be some regression for the Thunder from 3, so far so good, because they're 0 for 4 from long range tonight. 26-20 is the lead for the Pacers, with the Thunder about to hit a 3 here. Pacers up 9 and on the break, and something's going to backfire here because the live betting screen showing 26-20, so OKC is about to get a 3 to cut it to 6.
Yeah, and something I don't know if we mentioned this before the game. Of course, it's easy to say after, but Pacers were getting 3, 3.5 in the first half. They led outright in Game 3 at home and Game 4 at home. So, looking back, maybe that was an angle you could have pursued there, taking the points at half, even if you think eventually OKC pulls away, pulls ahead, wins the game. You had that insurance of, play them tough for a half. You see that a lot in the NCAA tournament with big underdogs.
Yes. Where,
they can hang for a half, but sometimes the favorite pulls away late. But that looks like a profitable angle. Again, these things can flip on their head. But so far, Pacers holding form to these early starts at home where they led Game 3 and Game 4, both of these home games in this series. They led outright at halftime.
What's your evaluation of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as a player? Because he's very smooth. He's crafty. He knows how to get foul calls. He can score in the lane. He's got that step-back jumper. But he's not a great three-point shooter, Will, and he's not a highlight reel type of player. Doesn't put together a lot of sensational plays. He can score a quiet 30 like no one else in the league can. I just watched him throw up a brick from 3 right there, and it feels like he's got a lot of room for improvement for a player who just won MVP.
It's a great point. If he had the three-point shot with his quickness, and you use the perfect word, smooth, he just uses athleticism to get you in bad spots, catch you off balance, and get his way to the free throw line. I don't love this part of the game that's become popular in the NBA. Harden did it, LeBron to some extent, but a lot of these guys, they're not really trying to put the ball through the hoop. They're just trying to catch you off balance, off guard, get into your body, and go to the line for a couple free throws. It's smart. I get it. I get why players do it and learn it, but it's just it's a hard part of the game to watch. But SGA, like you said, he's smooth. He's got room for improvement, which is scary. He's used the word boring, but you don't hear a lot of people say, "Oh, I can't stand SGA" or "I love SGA." He's kind of a nondescript player. Does that make sense? He's just usually these superstars, LeBron, people either hate him or love him. It happens a lot with the stars where they invoke passion. SGA is not like that. He's just kind of boring. People say, "Oh, he's a good player." I don't really care for him one way or another, though.
No, that's true, because he doesn't say many controversial things. He's kind of a quiet guy. More or less. Looks like he's got some personality when you see him in interviews, but he is, like I said, he doesn't put a lot of highlight reel plays together. He's not a dunker, not a three-point shooter. Shot this season, SGA shot 37.5% from 3, which is good, 30% during the playoffs, and he just knocked down. He's got that elbow jumper, like that 15 to 17-foot jumper. It's really tough. I think the one thing that does annoy a lot of people about SGA, and it's not his fault, he's so good at drawing fouls. He kind of tricks officials into making those phony foul calls, and he gets 10 free throw trips per game, and fans do get annoyed by that when one player's getting a bunch of calls. As I say that, he draws a foul.
Add two more. He's going back to the line. He knows his way to that free throw line. He doesn't need to map quest it. He knows just where to go when he hears that whistle blow.
That play, I know it bothered Wes Reynolds, bothered a lot of Pacers fans. Friday night in Game 4, do you remember when Scott Foster was on the baseline? There was no call. Foster was on the baseline. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander drove into the Pacers defender, pushed off, stumbled, took 4 steps, and then hit the baseline jumper. That was a big bucket down the stretch of that game. And Scott Foster stood there and watched him push off, watched him travel, and never blew the whistle. You recall that play?
I do. Other than that, though, it was a legal play. If you want to make smarter bets this football season, start with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, grab our football specialty early bird rate of just $175, giving you full access from now through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power rating, and season-long best bets. You'll also get a daily best bets email from our expert guests and hosts, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, and deep analytics and betting tools on VSiN.com. Get the early bird special now, VSIN.com/subscribe. Final seconds of the first quarter, Matt. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking the Thunder is going to score and make it 28-25, but the Pacers win the first quarter. If you bet the Pacers in the first, cash your ticket. 28-25 is the score headed to the second quarter. And, Will, don't look now, but T.J. McConnell has not scored in the game. You know, we were talking about that pregame. Betting public all over McConnell's points prop tonight. Be careful when everybody jumps on the bandwagon. McConnell, 5 minutes, no points. Tyrese Haliburton, 8 minutes, 4 points. Key players for the Pacers right now, Obi Toppin with 8, Andrew Nembhard with 8, Pascal Siakam with 7. That's another popular play tonight. Siakam over his points total at 20.5. And 28-25, Pacers have the lead at the end of one. So, well, I think you and I both took the points with the Pacers tonight. So far, so good, right? You like the way they dug out of that 10-2 hole early in the quarter.
Yeah, but look, these swings can happen one way in your favor, but they can easily happen just the other way. So I'm not, you know, obviously not counting my money just yet. I know you aren't either. But all you can ask for, if you would have told me, you know, half hour ago, you're going to lead by 3 at the end of the first quarter, our bet would at least be off to a good start. And that's all you can hope for with this stuff.
We got a score update in the Mets-Braves game. We'll get to that after a quick break. The Yankees actually scored 7 today and stopped their 6-game losing streak. Talk a little bit more about the Yankees and preview Padres-Dodgers series finale in L.A. coming up later tonight. Back in a couple minutes here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Pacers lead 32-27, first minute of the second quarter. OKC still a slight favorite here at DraftKings, minus 1.5, total of 219.5, so the total has dropped just a little bit. Patrick Everson reported on Twitter a couple big bets that came in on the OKC Thunder before the series at BetMGM. And BetMGM obviously hoping the Pacers can stretch this series out and win it in 7. That book took $1.05 million on OKC at minus 700 to win $143,000. Also took $200,000 on OKC minus 7 to win $28,000. Big bets on OKC at minus 700 pre-NBA Finals on the Thunder. And I'm sure the books would like to see the Pacers pull off the upset. So far, so good here in Game 5 in terms of Game 6 in terms of forcing this series to go the distance. Pacers up 5 here, 32-27, 10:32 to go in the second quarter. And, well, after the Thunder got off to a 10-2 start, their offense has really been laboring here. And the Pacers have outscored the Thunder from that point 30-17, so they've really turned around this game.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about these different games in so many angles: home court, motivation, coaching, matchups. We can go, you know, we could spend 5 hours on this stuff. A lot of time, there's only one number that matters. It's like turnovers in football, the 3-point shot. Mm-hmm. OKC is 1 of 7, 14%. Indiana, 5 of 16, not great, but they've got the volume in the attempts. They got the volume in makes. When you're outscored by 12 points from the 3-point line, it's just, you know, the math starts to get tricky for you. So India shot the ball well here at home, and you expect that. OKC has shot the ball poorly pretty much for the most part in the postseason, especially on the road. 3 of 17 from 3 in Game 4, and those road woes have continued. The Wiggins of the world, just, you know, Isaiah Joe doesn't really play anymore. The sharpshooters for OKC, they thrive in the home environment, and they're young players. They don't shoot as well on the road here. So that that trend is at least continuing so far here through the first, you know, 15 minutes or so of this game.
SGA gets the ball at the elbow. He shot fakes, takes one dribble to the middle of the lane, shot fakes again. Defender goes up, and he gets enough space to knock down about a 12-footer. See, he's not a highlight reel player, Will. He's just smooth. He knows how to get space for his shot, and he's one of the rare young players who's got a mid-range game. Most guys don't care about the mid-range anymore. They just want to dunk and shoot threes. SGA's got a good mid-range game. And the Thunder cut it to one here, 32-31. One thing to point out here, Will, we talked about the Pacers' turnovers in Game 5. They had 22 of them. And they were way too sloppy with the ball. I thought I went back and watched the replay of the game that night. A lot of people like to give OKC's D a lot of credit, and it is very good defense. But a lot of those turnovers, I thought more than 10 of them were just careless, unforced errors on the part of the Pacers, just throwing the ball away, just sloppy play, not really forced by the Thunder defense. So far tonight, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander already has turned it over four times. Thunder have six turnovers here. The Pacers only have one. Well, you're just seeing the difference in how the Pacers play more efficiently at home than they do on the road. They're taking much better care of the ball so far tonight.
They sure are, but those numbers you just read, coupled with the numbers I read, would give me some concern here from a Pacers standpoint. Like, I have turnovers, I'm winning 6-1. 3-point line, I'm winning 5-1. And I'm only up a point. That would concern me. If you just told me those stats, all right, Pacers are probably in good shape to maybe have, you know, a 7-8-point lead. The fact that they're only up one, a little bit concerning. Would you agree with that?
I would. 32-31, 9:28 to go. SGA has 11 points. Jalen Williams, 9. Aaron Wiggins, former Maryland player, has the only 3-pointer for the Thunder so far. But you're right, when you've knocked down 5 threes and OKC only has 1 and SGA has 4 turnovers, feels like you should have more than a 1-point lead at this point. So you know, I'm not overconfident in the Pacers. I still really like their chances to cover this number tonight. Like I said, I've always felt like this game is going to go down to the wire. Thunder's going to have to pick it up from 3-point range. Obviously, if the Pacers win this game, and you mentioned it, I agree with you. When we look back at this, when this game's over tonight, we look at the box score. I think the 3-point shooting is going to be the key. If the Pacers continue to knock down threes tonight, Will, I think they're going to win this game. Because I don't think the Thunder is going to light it up from three.
Nope, would agree with that, and I agree. This is, to me, a down-to-the-wire game, similar to Game 4, where, I mean, look, I know the Thunder covered, but, you know, you play that game over the way it played out. I mean, that's just like a 90-something percent cover.
Yeah, it was a joke.
For the Pacers. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Completely ridiculous. Sometimes that happens, just, you know, the free throws at the end, no back. I mean, a lot had to happen, but if we get a similar game to that, you know, tie game, 3-4 minutes to go, you take your points here with the plus points, so hopefully we get that game. This has been a good series, an exciting series. These teams are fun. They're new. They're different. I know the ratings haven't been great, but I've enjoyed the series. I think it's been, like I said, different teams, different cities, a lot of excitement. Games have been good. I know Game 4 was really good. Game 5, 2-point game in the fourth quarter. Game 1 was a classic. I thought all in all, for a series that was a minus 700 favorite on one side, we've gotten our money's worth. We're getting a sixth game. We've gotten some good games. It's been a fun series.
I agree. I was looking forward to it when it started. I thought it was going to be a series the Pacers could force to 6, if not 7, and it's played out that way. I think it's been a really good series. I don't care much about the TV ratings and media hype and things like that. I believe this is good basketball, and that's what you want to see at this point. You want to see a competitive series that runs deep, and that's what we're getting. By the way, when OKC won that Game 4 on Friday night, 111-104, in Indiana, outscored the Pacers by 14 points in the fourth quarter. They only shot 3-for-16 from three in that game. And that's, again, it was a fluke cover for OKC on Friday night. But they're not going to win tonight, Will, if they shoot 3-for-16 from three. I'll tell you that. They were lucky to win Friday night. The Thunder not knocking down the threes here in Indianapolis. I don't know if it's something about Gainbridge Fieldhouse, but they knocked down 14 of them, shot 44% in Game 5 at home, and tonight they can't buy a 3, 1-for-7 so far. So that's where the Pacers are going to have the advantage. If they win this game tonight, it's going to be 3-point shooting. Right now, Pacers up 34-31. T.J. McConnell in the game running the half-court offense for the Pacers, and he rises and hits a 14-foot jumper. Nice play there by McConnell. Well, it's interesting when you watch T.J. McConnell. I know he started his college career at Duquesne. He also played at Arizona. Was never a guy you watched in college and thought, man, this guy is going to be really good in the NBA. But you know what he's really good at? A small guy. He can drive the lane and get those step-back jumpers, and he makes those step-back jumpers.
You hit it perfectly. You took the words out of my mouth. That guy, for a little guy in a sport among trees, he's always, always, just watch him. He's always got 2 feet in the paint. which it's not easy in the NBA when you're that little to, you know, you got to maneuver your way. You can't overpower people. He's not the quickest guy, but you look up and he's at his spots. And, you know, we talked just a few minutes ago, no points. Everyone was betting the over 10 and a half. If you had that over 10 and a half, you're in good shape right now, because he is up to 6 points here with, you know, just 8 minutes to go in the half. So that 10 and a half is looking pretty good for McConnell. And McConnell's a good example. A lot of these guys are good examples. Player evaluation. McConnell was at Duquesne. SGA, you watch him in college, all right, good player, but you didn't think superstar. Hell, the Clippers traded him, and he slipped to what, the 12th, 11th pick in the draft?
Mm-hmm.
You go down the line, Jalen Williams at Santa Clara. Halliburton was drafted, end of the lottery, and traded. So the player evaluation in the NBA, you know, it's not just as simple as, oh, we'll tank, we got to get the first pick. You can find some good players in these later rounds, these later picks.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I've said that for years. When you hear people talk about how, oh, this is a bad draft. This is not a deep draft. There's only a few players in that draft. It's BS. That's coming from people who don't know the personnel, don't know the prospects in the draft. You find really good players at the end of the first round or in the second round every year. And I think it's going to be the same this year. You're going to hear a lot of talk about how this is not a deep draft. There's only, you know, four or five players at the top that are difference makers. Don't believe that, because there's a lot of quality players in this draft. Hey, Draymond Green was a second-round draft pick.
Sure.
I watched him
Jokic
at Michigan
State. Yeah, down the line.
Yeah, I watched him at Michigan State. I knew this guy was going to be a winning player in the NBA, and he went in the second round. That's just poor evaluation by a lot of teams. T.J. McConnell drives the lane and hits another short jumper. 39-33 here. The Pacers have the lead. And all those prop players who jumped on the McConnell bandwagon, yeah, looking pretty good right now. He's got 8 points. He's got them all in this quarter, and he comes up with a steal. How about T.J. McConnell, the spark plug for the Pacers? He and Halliburton on the floor at the same time right now, and Halliburton hits a three off of McConnell assist, and the Pacers go up six. How about that sequence right there for the Pacers, Will?
Hell of a sequence. And I can remember, you know, you were talking about Draymond Green. I remember Rick Majerus, one of his last games, his last press conferences in the NCAA tournament, I think St. Louis lost to Michigan State. And one of the last things he said was, I don't know what kind of pro will be, but Draymond Green, man, that guy is a hell of a basketball player. I always remember that. And he, it translated to the pros. But great sequence here from Indy and McConnell to give Indy a little breathing room, up six here, middle of the second quarter.
Both Pacers point guards delivering right there. This summer, go all in at Circa Las Vegas with the ultimate getaway package, just $400. Two-night stay at Circa, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and your own day bed at Stadium Swim, all for just $400, resort fees and taxes included. Go to CircaLasVegas.com.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
T.J. McConnell sparking the Pacers again tonight. 18-3 bench points advantage for Indiana. And, Will, this is how the Pacers wore down the Knicks. They were deeper, had more guys who could score off the bench, and they feasted on points off turnovers. They're not getting all that against OKC, but they are deeper, and the bench points been a big advantage for Indiana early in this game. 41-33 halfway through the second quarter.
Yeah, and halfway through the second quarter, only 33 points of this OKC offense. I mean, think about it. They had 10 points a few minutes into the game, so they've gone a long period of time here with only 23 points, and you hit on it too, the turnovers. Eight turnovers, and the points off turnovers, 11-2 in favor of the Pacers. I'm just looking here. FanDuel, odds to win the championship. Mentioned how Pacers were 12-1 before the game. It's now cut in half. It's now down to 6-1. And if you want to get crazy, just tell me if I'm crazy or stupid or both. T.J. McConnell is 150-1 to win Finals MVP.
Well, I'd never say 150-1 is crazy. You don't have to put a big bet on it, right? You could put 150-1. You could put $20 on it. if you have, you know, if you're thinking, well, he's got a shot. It's better to make that bet than regret not making the bet and then he wins it. Then you're only out $20 if you lose. Who cares? You know, that's what I said. If when you're talking about odds like that, you're betting a matchstick to win a lumberyard, which is what we talk about with parlays. A lot of people like to bet a little to win a lot on parlays. If you're playing 150-1 shot, I'm not going to sit here and tell you not to do it. I wouldn't bet $1,000 on it, but it's worth, and a lot of books wouldn't take $1,000 anyway, but it's worth some sort of bet. T.J. McConnell's doing everything he can to help the Pacers win this game. He's diving on the floor for loose balls, coming up with rebounds. Look at this guy. I mean, he talked about a winning player, Will. A lot of people love to focus on the superstars. You've got to have the T.J. McConnells on your team. Alex Caruso's that type of player for the Thunder.
Yeah, I might bet this. It's down to 140-1. SGA is minus 370. So these numbers are bouncing around. Siakam down to 750. So at 140-1, why the hell not, right?
SGA just dribbled into traffic and got stripped of the ball again. Man, he is not getting it done tonight. At least SGA's got five turnovers here in the first in his first 15 minutes on the floor. Five turnovers. 42-33, Pacers got the lead. T.J. McConnell does go to the bench for a rest, and Tyrese Haliburton back on the floor here. Update the live number. Will, how about this? Pacers up to 4.5-point favorites in the game. They now lead 45-33, about to hit a three-pointer to go up 12. Pacers 4.5-point favorites, total 212.5. The money line has flipped all the way to Pacers minus 200, OKC plus 150.
And remember this sequence if the Pacers win the game, because 9-point game, again, it's early, but Holmgren off an alley-oop has a dunk wide open. He just misses the dunk. The ball goes off the back rim. It leads to a three the other way. So a 5-point swing there leading to a fast break and an open look. SGA can't answer. It looks like we got a whistle, probably SGA. I don't know if that's on the floor or shooting, but a foul on the Pacers. But that was a huge 5-point swing. So keep that in mind. And I guess we have to ask it. Can the Pacers survive the non-TJ McConnell minutes with him on the bench? It's like Denver trying to survive without Jokic.
That's a good question. I don't know. They could not survive the non-TJ McConnell minutes in game five. Yeah, good you're points. Right about that. Isaiah Hartenstein threw up a perfect alley-oop lob to Chet Holmgren, and he missed a dunk. How do you miss that?
I'm not sure.
That is ridiculous to miss that. And by the way, SGA back at the free throw line. He barely got bumped by Obi Toppin, and the refs can't resist blowing the whistle every time he gets bumped. So SGA back at the free throw line for two, and he's going to make them both 45-35. I mean, is any other player in the league get a whistle every time he barely gets bumped? That's the only thing, and it's not SGA's fault. He's great at drawing the fouls and accentuating the contact, you know, exaggerating it when he gets bumped.
Sure.
But, man, this guy goes to the free throw line so much, you got to annoys the hell out of the opposing team and opposing fans. And as I say that, Lou Dort throws up a three. He gets bumped on the shot, and there's no call. SGA probably
would have got more contact there than the SGA one.
I did, too. I was surprised Dort didn't get the call. Anyway, Pacers go the other way, and boom, hit a three. 48-35. Pacers are knocking down the threes tonight. Well, it's going to be tough, I think, for the Thunder to overcome this deficit because they just don't knock down threes. They were 3-for-16 on Friday night in Indianapolis, and they're 1-for-9 from three tonight.
You're taking the words again right out of my mouth because, look, there's a lot of time. The NBA, we see this lead could go from 13-4 in the blink of an eye. That being said, you get to a point when you're not a three-point shooting team, you get to a point where it's very difficult to come back. It's like a football team that's a running team. You get behind two touchdowns. Well, it's hard to run your way back to two touchdowns unless you get huge chunks. So we're not there yet. Plenty of time left, but something to keep in mind. If you're looking to cut into big deficits, like the Pacers have cut into big deficits, erased big deficits, because they got the three ball for them. The three is a lot more than two. Three is worth 1.5 times two. When you're as poor from three as OKC is, especially on the road, starts to become danger territory. So what was once a 10-2 OKC lead is now a 13-point Pacers lead. So we got, again, a long, long way to go, but it's possible here we get our first Game 7 in 9 years.
I love Game 7s. Right now I feel like we're going to get one on Sunday night. Pacers up 13 with 4:33 to go before the half. OKC struggling offensively tonight, 1-for-9 from three. All right, quick update on some other sports here. We had Ian Cameron on tonight. CFL Week 3 kicks off in Edmonton. A lot of fans are probably still depressed about the Oilers, and Edmonton Elks down 7-3 to the Alouettes. Late first quarter, Ian Cameron had Montreal over the team total and a smaller play over the total of 48 in that game tonight. 7-3 Montreal Alouettes lead. Let's go to baseball. Check in on Paul Skeens and the Pirates. Rain delay in the ninth inning, Will. Pirates blew that 4-0 lead. It's now 4-4 in the ninth in Detroit. And how about the Braves? We said this is the type of game they need to win if they're going to close the gap on the Mets and start to make a push here. Braves now up 7-1 over the Mets in the top of the eighth.
Yeah, and again, going back to the Pirates, you bet the Skeens of the world, these really good pitchers. You know, Skubal for years on the Tigers when they didn't have a good team. Sandy Alcantara for the Marlins years where they didn't have a good team. They still don't. When he was dominant, you almost have to take the first five, don't you? Because once the game goes to the bullpen, you want no part of it. You want no part of the lineup. You're betting solely on the pitcher. If it's 2-2 after five, just take your refund and go about your business. So this is a perfect example where if you played the Pirates on the first five, you're in good shape. But that full game can be dangerous with these bad teams, bad bullpens, bad lineups.
Two games on the West Coast yet to go tonight. So if you're looking for betting action late on Thursday night, how about Padres-Dodgers? Burgert is going to go for the Padres and Yoshinobu Yamamoto for the Dodgers. LA minus 250 at Circa. Highest number I see in the markets, minus 270, total of 8.5. Here's some information from Weston Stratman, at Guy in Cornfields on Twitter. Weston, the original Average Joe in the Circa Friday Football Invitational, a sharp bettor as well. Yoshinobu Yamamoto is on 6 days rest tonight, as Weston points out. His ERA on 5 days rest is 4.46. His ERA with six or more days of rest, 0.90. And Dodgers trying to sweep the Padres. I think San Diego came into the series thinking they had a chance to really close the gap on the Dodgers, if not leave L.A. in first place in the West. Not going to happen here. It's been a rude awakening for the Padres in this series, Will. Again, Dodgers got the win last night and tried to close out four in a row tonight behind Yamamoto at minus 250.
Yeah, and now look, that's a good note about the difference between the 5 days and the 6 days rest. I can't lay the 250. I can't lay the run and a half with the home team. And Yamamoto, okay, he's been good on longer rest, but he's been shaky of late.
He has been.
He walked five guys last time against the Giants. He was shaky against the Yankees on Sunday Night Baseball. A few weeks ago, Ben Rice hit a ball. I think it's still going off him. He walked guys in that game. So the control, it's like 11 walks in the last 13 innings. With his recent form, I can't get to it. I'm seeing minus 280 at DraftKings. That's just a price I can't quite get to. And those games between the Dodgers and the Padres, I know the Dodgers, beat them most of the time. Dodgers beat most of the teams most of the time. But those games are usually close. Usually, you win with some late heroics one way or another. So I'd only look towards the Padres, but no play for me.
No play for me, too. It's just too high a price. And I agree with what you're saying about Yamamoto. He actually started that day. I was at Dodger Stadium for the Yankees game, and the Yankees hit him. And he has been shaky lately. Dodgers won the first three games of the series, 6-3, 8-6, and 4-3. Will Smith with the walk-off homer last night. Dodgers trying to finish off a four-game sweep, and that would be six wins in a row if they can get it. They won the last two games of the series against the Giants over the weekend. ProfitX is offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans instead of just against the sports books. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSEN and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. ProfitX.
This is VSEN Primetime on VSEN, the sports betting network.
Will, you and I were talking during the break, and we both said at the same time, Pacers going to win this game. 60-42. Easy to say now when they're up 18, but you could just see it trending that way. When they came back, took the 28-25 lead at the end of the first quarter after falling behind 10-2 to open the game. The three ball is the reason I say it. Thunder 1-for-11 from three. You can't make up a 20-point deficit if you can't make threes. Right now, it's 62-42. Pacers got the lead by 20. OKC 1-for-11 from three. The Pacers 9-for-24, which is not sizzling. They're 37.5%, but they've made nine. They've outscored the Thunder by 24 points at the three-point line. And how about that assist? Halliburton to, I believe, Miles Turner for the dunk. Oh, that was Siakam with the dunk.
Sure.
Siakam's had a couple highlight reel dunks in this series. Siakam, points prop 20 and a half tonight. He's got 11 now. Halliburton has 12 points. Andrew Nembhard has 10. Aaron Nesmith, 9. Obi Toppin, 8. And how about TJ McConnell with 8 points? And can we talk a little bit about the NBA Finals MVP race, which might get interesting here, Will?
Yeah, we were doing the show. And by the way, OKC reminds me, it's like a boxer just waiting for that bell to ring and that round to be over so they can get in the corner and get the cuts on their, you know, face healed up and get the ice and all that stuff.
Siakam hits a jumper before the buzzer. He's got 13 points. Pacers have a 22-point lead at the half, 64-42. All right, go ahead, Will.
Yeah, so we were watching these numbers with the Conn Smythe when that game was pretty much decided. The only intrigue was the Conn Smythe, and you know Bennett went from minus 200, minus 300. Eventually, the end of that game, minus 3,000. So maybe somebody knew something. A couple numbers here. OKC in Indy series price. This is at FanDuel. Shop around. Pacers plus 330 to win it. So I, again, blathered on about how I like the Pacers at 12-1, but I'm not going to bet it. Well, probably should have bet it because that 12-1 is now closer to 3-1. Finals MVP. If you like OKC to win this series still, and you think if OKC wins, it's SGA, well, don't lay the 420. Lay the 240 with SGA to win Finals MVP. Pascal Siakam down to plus 370. Jalen Williams plus 650. Halliburton, who's played pretty well here. The calf has healed in the past couple days. 33-1. And TJ McConnell now down to 100-1. That number slowly creeping down. So fascinating numbers to keep an eye on. These numbers keep moving here. And, man, we'll keep an eye on this stuff. It just doesn't feel like OKC is built to come from a 22-point lead.
No, it doesn't.
Or race a 22-point deficit. I know they did it at Memphis in the first round. They were down 10 in the fourth quarter against the Pacers. It's the NBA. Crazy things happen. But 2016 was the last time we got a Game 7 of the NBA Finals. It looks like we're headed for another one.
Yeah, you're not Memphis. You're not playing the Grizzlies. You're not coming back from 22 down at the half tonight. Pacers on the live number, 12.5-point favorites. That's the DraftKings. The total's down to 214.5. Pacers doing their part to get this game over. The total was 64. OKC's got 42 points at the half. Money line now, Pacers minus 850. Pre-game was OKC minus 220. Now it's OKC plus 520. Talk about a big shift in the numbers in the first half here tonight. It's always tough, Will. It's a cliche, but we talked about this early. Always tough to close out a game, close out a series on the road. Right, and that's what the young Thunder team is trying to do tonight. We've talked about this before the series, throughout the series, and this is a point I was trying to make repeatedly before the series started, when a lot of people thought the Thunder is just going to bulldoze the Pacers like a bunch of clowns. OKC's got a young team, an extremely young team. I think on average age, the youngest team to be in the finals since the 1970s. They got a young team. They've been immature at times throughout the playoffs. When they're up 2-0 on the T-Wolves, they lost by 40 points on the road. For a young team to go on the road and close out a game like this, and also cover to lay 6.5, I thought was way too much to ask. Anyway, it's looking good. Pacers plus 6.5 tonight. Now, I'm going to lose that OKC in 6 bet, but Will, I've got OKC in 7 at 5-1, which I made just in case OKC couldn't close it out in 6, and I needed that insurance policy for 7. So I'm glad I made that bet before the series, too. I will say, in terms of your MVP position here, you're very smart. You picked up on this TJ McConnell thing at 150-1, and you said bet it. I don't know how much you put on it, probably not a lot, but you took the 150-1, or you took 140-1 when it started to nosedive there a little bit. I like that play a lot because right now I'm going to tell you I think there are two guys who can win MVP if the Pacers win the series, and one is not Tyrese Halliburton. I think the MVP from the Pacers is going to be either Pascal Siakam or TJ McConnell. And Siakam, you might want to play him now at about 4-1 odds, and that would make you feel better about missing out on that Pacers 12-1 bet.
I've got $75 on it, so 75 at 140-1 pays 10.5K. So would enjoy that one. Don't expect it to hit, but I did this in the Super Bowl. Again, this is the past posting a little bit, and I usually don't hit the cash out button with a bet like this, though. I remember Sweat was maybe 40, 50-1. He had a couple big plays, And then, you know, Hurts scored a touchdown. I was like, I don't like this, but I'm getting 6 or 7X my cash out. I'm actually going to hit it, even though, you know, the cash out is usually not a good bet based on the value. There was no other way to hedge it. So you bet something 140, 150 to one. As long as if that number continues to go in your direction, you can monetize it with, again, a cash out button that's usually not profitable. But again, I think he's live. There's a narrative around him. People like him. It's a good story. You know, Halliburton has made some shots here. So maybe it's Halliburton. Maybe it's Siakam. The market seems to think if the Pacers were to win a game seven here on the road, it would be Siakam. Maybe it is. But at 140 to one, you can't go wrong. So that's where the money's going there in terms of the MVP. If you want to know where the money's really going, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month. VSiN.com/subscribe, VSIN.com/subscribe, $9.99. You can't beat it. Matt, I'm looking at this. Plus 320, plus 330 on the Pacers for a second half money line. Is that worth a shot? Thinking you're getting into garbage time. Maybe OKC says, you know what, we'll see you Sunday for game seven. Pacers just continue running out of the gym, or do the Thunder have a run, a mini run in them here in the second half?
Thunder just got outscored 36-17 in the second quarter.
Wow.
Well, first of all, I think the Pacers got to play for a game seven too, right? Tyrese Halliburton, there's no reason for him to play 20 minutes here in the second half. He played 16 in the first half, scored 12 points. We talked about, we thought the Pacers could win with or without Halliburton. We're lucky they have him tonight. So with Halliburton, they're up 22. He's plus 25 in the plus minus tonight. So again, a guy off a bad game a lot of times is in a bet on situation the next time out. And that's Halliburton. He heard a lot of criticism after the last game, and he's answered those critics tonight. 12 points, 4 assists, 0 turnovers. And that's a key for him as well. I don't know. At some point, the Pacers got to sit their starters too, right? It's not just OKC sitting their starters playing for Game 7. Don't you think the Pacers do the same thing?
Yeah, but I think less so. When you're up, when you're down 3-2 and you're facing elimination, there comes a point. But I just think that point is farther, where you really let's secure the game seven first before we get cute. Again, there comes a time for it. You know, you're up 30 middle of the fourth quarter. Maybe then you do it. But I think when you're trailing in the series, you got to be extra careful, extra certain that the win's in your back pocket before you start getting too cute.
Well, yeah, now it's too soon to talk about. We'll start talking about that. When do you pull starters, like early in the fourth quarter?
Sure.
It's not going to happen in the third. This is the NBA. 20-point deficits disappear in the NBA, right? The Celtics blew 2 20-point leads against the Knicks, didn't they?
At home.
Yeah.
Back-to-back.
64-42 at the half, and the live number now, Pacers minus 12.5 and minus 920. That's a DraftKings. Wow, talk about a major shift from pregame. I want to ask you here, wrap up this hour, will you consider betting Pascal Siakam to win NBA Finals MVP? Because I think that's the guy, if the Pacers win it right now, that's the MVP.
Yeah, but his number mirrors too much the Pacers' odds to win it, where I could just take the Pacers and not have to worry about it. I can get, you know, 3-1 north of that if I like that, where I'm getting just a little more on Siakam, where I don't know if it's worth it again. That 12-1 before the game, Chuck Esposito and I were talking about it. I'd be curious if we could get him back on, or, you know, pick his brain right now, what he's thinking, because I don't think he pulled the trigger on it either.
I think Chuck would say, "Well, you should have taken the 12-1.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, at least you got 140-1 on TJ McConnell to win MVP. Not a bad long shot play there. That wraps up the third hour of VSiN Primetime tonight. This is a 4-hour show, so we'll be back with the third quarter of Thunder Pacers. 64-42. Pacers got the lead. 12.5-point favorites in the game. Total drop from 222.5 at tip-off to 215.5 now. And it looks like we're going to have a game seven on Sunday night in Oklahoma City. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.